The NaviPro IT Break, 15 entertaining minutes with our experts on hot topics. They're designed to help you keep up to date on the latest IT trends. Good morning, everybody. My name is Pierre Tocci. I'm Senior Consultant IT Transformation Strategies at NaviPro. And this morning, my guest is Vivian Soon, Security Architect at IBM. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning, Pierre.
Vivian, on this episode 40 of our IT break, welcome aboard for number 40. You chose the topic of consumer IoT and privacy risk. To me, it was a bit surprising that somebody like you from the business side at IBM for security would be concerned with consumer IoT. Tell me more.
It's a huge area that I'm very concerned about personally, and I think it's a part of the security and privacy conversation that we don't pay enough attention to. It's not necessarily inherently in big tech's interests to worry about consumer privacy, but it's a really important piece of the privacy landscape, particularly with things like the Canadian Digital Charter that are going to be coming into effect. And everybody needs to be more aware of this on a personal level.
Right. Privacy concerns. To what extent do you think that we should be more concerned about privacy and IoT? IoT, we should be defining what it is, first of all. What do we mean by consumer IoT?
Yeah, of course. So IoT means Internet of Things, and it means anything that's connected to the internet, that's not a traditional computer or a mobile device or a tablet. And there's sort of two broad categories of IoT. There's industrial IoT, when we think about like the sensors in our water meters or traffic lights, and all the devices in our critical infrastructure, like in power plants and manufacturing, right? That's all the industrial side. Yeah, but the consumer IoT piece, those are all the consumer devices that we can buy off Best Buy and Amazon, and we bring into our homes as individual consumers because we want our lives to be more convenient, right?
So that's all the cool stuff is really affordable for a couple of bucks, basically.
Yeah, exactly. There's four major use cases that we talk about in the industry for IoT. And it's, you know, asset tracking, smart home and smart facilities, health monitoring, remote control. I like to think of these use cases on the consumer side as basically four things. Find my stuff, right? That's asset tracking and things like the Tile devices that help you find where you left your keys or your glasses. The second one is monitor my stuff.
Right, my smart, yes, exactly. They're on my nose, my glasses.
I have a friend who literally leaves his reading glasses in a different place in the house seven times a day. It drives his wife bananas.
Well, Vivian, I fixed that. I got reading glasses all over in every room. And I got distance glasses in every room.
See, there you go. You wear glasses long enough, you've invested in your own infrastructure. the third use case for consumer IoT is what I call take care of me. All the health monitoring devices, right? So things like you know, your Fitbits, your smart watches, anything that can track your biometrics or that you can input your health data into. And then the fourth one is, of course, remote control, which is a really interesting use case. That's basically do it for me. The advent of the Internet of Things has allowed remote control capabilities to go beyond the distance of Bluetooth, right? So with the right combination of devices, you can start up your car 10 blocks away to warm it up in the winter. From a convenience point of view, that's fantastic. But from a vulnerability point of view, it's terrible.
I remember last year I bought the electric outlets for the Christmas tree. That would trigger remotely. My wife would be in the living room and I would put the Christmas tree on and off from my car. Because obviously it asked me to connect to my Wi-Fi to do this.
Of course. Of course it does.
There's the security concern.
Exactly. And right now when we could use every little bit of cheering up, yeah, I want light bulbs that change color according to the weather. That's awesome, right? I love the idea of being able to do that. But what do you have to enable And what information are you required to give up in order to bring that into your home? And I have a very personal story about this, and that happened about a year and a half ago. We were renovating our TV room, and my husband wanted some fancy accent lighting to put behind the TV. He wanted like this strip of colored light so we can choose exactly which shade of blue is going to best complement the movie we're about to watch.
The guy stuff.
Oh yeah, totally. You know, we were at Addison Electronique, and the guy said, look, you're going to play with the colors for 2 weeks and you're never going to touch it again. And I looked at him and I said, oh, you don't know my husband. but you know, we were shopping around for these things, and he ended up ordering a system off Amazon, I think because it was cheaper. And then when he was installing it, he came to me and he said, so you work in cybersecurity. And I said, oh, thank you for noticing. And he said, so I'm setting up these lights and they're controlled with an app on the phone. And I kind of looked at him and said, okay, because I distinctly recall there being a control panel and a remote control on the wall. So why do I need an app as well? But okay. And I said, fine. And he said, yeah, but to enable this app, I have to create an account on their website.
Yep.
So now they have your email address, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to give them my address.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to give them our Wi-Fi credentials.
Uh-huh.
So I shouldn't do this, right?
No.
And no. I believe my exact response was burn it, burn it, burn it with fire. That was an immediate Amazon return. And now we have a different system in place. But this is exactly the kind of thing. I mean, maybe there's no ill intent. Maybe this is not a totally dodgy operation, although why, yes, the website was hosted in China. Maybe there is no ill intent here, right? Maybe there's no malfeasance. At the very least, they're trying to scrape information for marketing that they're really not entitled to under any notion of consumer privacy. At the very least, right?
Well, Vivian, what you're telling me is like as if I'm in a safe neighborhood, but I leave the front door of my house open. Well, nobody's going to walk in. I love my neighbors. They love me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It. I mean, at the very least, you can't trust the raccoons, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And these are the kinds of things that we do all the time. How often, you know, how often do people have to add apps to their smart TVs? It's super convenient to be able to browse to Netflix and everything right from there, right? But as soon as you enable your Apple ID on another device, well, how much information is linked to your Apple ID? Like if someone gets into that, they have everything about your phone and whatever you have on the cloud and everything that you've done with it. They potentially have access to photos that you wouldn't even show your friends and family if you've been, you know, whatever. I don't judge, but our phones contain so much information about us. And then all of that information is going somewhere in the cloud. I will say that there are some of the big tech companies that are better than others about trying to be privacy watchdogs and privacy custodians and have taken very responsible stances on it. Some are much more vocal about this than others, but it's enormously difficult for anyone to operationalize security. And even if somebody like Apple, with all the reach and all the resources, is having challenges doing it, you certainly can't expect that of smaller enterprises. The privacy landscape changes all the time. So if you're not being careful about the information you share, you can't necessarily trust that the people you're giving that data to are willing or able to protect it.
You raise a very good point, because quite often we see these new gadgets come in from named companies. Oh, Logitech sells it, or this guy sells it. And then we look at the price, it's a bit expensive. What do? We go to our favorite Amazon and find out that some guy somewhere sells this at 20% of the regular price. Oh, looks like the same product. I'm going to buy it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
there's a reason why it's 20%.
Yeah, sure. I want to save $50, but do I really want information about the fluctuations in my blood pressure going to some unknown entity who has, you know, some security posture that I know nothing about, or some reputation that I'm completely unaware of. You know, and even the big companies are vulnerable. There was a data leak from Facebook this weekend, where, you know, people's email addresses and phone numbers were exposed on Facebook.
Yeah. So then again, exposed on Facebook, my device that was hacked has all my Facebook contacts, because Facebook's, you know, as soon as you accept something on Facebook, it goes through your iPhone and your Android upload takes care, you know, in their claim, they are allowed to use your pictures, right? In the fine prints, fine prints. Oh, yeah. So therefore, you just open up a new door for somebody to take possession of your Facebook, your credential, and it goes on and on and on and on and on.
Exactly. And even just knowing someone's email address and phone number allows me to start to piece together a lot about them. But if I have your area code, I know where you live. If I have your email address, and I can see where I can go and look and find out where else you've used that email address to sign up for anything else. If you reuse the password, then God help you, right?
Tell me, what advice, because you know, obviously all these gadgets are really cool. They can be handy. They can please us for whatever reason. They can be part of my man cave, of course, because guys, we like gadgets, right?
Oh, it's not just guys.
Well, I'll pick on me. It's easier. Okay. So, all right. It looks good. You know, it looks like a duck. It flies like a duck. Is it a duck? What should we do?
Well, there's a few things that everybody should do, you know, and the first is, this is one area where I'm adamant that people have to be the human firewall. I tell organizations all the time not to rely on their employees to be the human firewall, but in the consumer IoT space, you have to be. You have to think really hard about who is this device from? Is this a trusted brand? Would I trust them with my data and my privacy? Mm-hmm. And what information are they asking for, and do they really need it? This is at the heart of privacy regulations that are emerging around the world right now about what data is legitimate and fair use. And as a consumer, you have the right to say no. You have the right to go to, I can go to IKEA and I can say, hey, all the data that you have on me, I want to know. I want a record of all the data you have on me, and then I want you to delete it. And I can demand that because they're subject to GDPR.
Yeah.
And regulations like this are coming into effect everywhere around the world. That is your right as a data subject.
Yeah.
So we should understand that that conversation and those dynamics, and understand what our rights are as data subjects, and start getting comfortable with demanding that organizations respect those rights. Those are our fundamental rights as data subjects in the 21st century. And you have to be the human firewall to protect them.
Yeah, unfortunately, as a non-advised consumer, you know, your husband is lucky because he can look at you and you look at him and say, what are you doing? You know, but not all of us have a security expert in the house. And a lot of consumers, you know, have limited knowledge of what's going on. So, you know, for them to be the human firewall is basically for them to be very attentive to what they do. That's basically your message. Don't trust. Just don't trust.
No. And you know what? You could start with one simple thing. Go to whatever web browser you use most frequently and check and see what passwords are stored in it. You might be shocked how far back that information goes.
Yeah.
And then you have an idea of the digital footprint you've been leaving.
Yeah. It comes down to the same. When it's free, it's because you're the product.
Oh, absolutely.
Somebody is selling something from your usage. That's what they do.
Yep. That's exactly what it is. And, you know, and our notion of the criticality of personally identifiable information is evolving all the time. And there's no such thing as harmless or innocuous data anymore. What would I do if the information about my heart rate and my blood pressure and my exercise routine, which right now is non-existent, but that's beside the point. But if all that information was sold to somebody, could it be used in a way that harms me? Absolutely, it could.
Well, you know, when we look at these companies that tell us about our ancestors and DNA check to figure out where we come from, hello, What are they doing?
Yeah, that's information.
That in 5 years, your insurance companies will know your pedigree. That's what will happen.
Yep. So, you know, what are they doing with it? You know, you got to consider the fine print. What are they doing with it? And can I demand it back? Can I demand that they delete it?
But Vivian, you know, even if they were the most, they are honest people. If Facebook got hacked, they will get hacked with the data that they have on you, you know, on me. End of story. This is how the business works now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not to say that we should all put on tinfoil hats and live in caves and that you can't have your robot butlers, because God knows I want a robot butler. You know, we are human beings in the 21st century and we all want these things, me more than anybody probably. But you've got to think about what is the risk and how do I mitigate it, right? Do I use a password manager for all of my personal accounts? I do password checkups to see what sites that I subscribe to or that I have accounts on have been breached recently? Again, like any password manager will let you check that up. The Have I Been Pwned website will let you check on that.
Absolutely.
Look at the stored browsers in the stored passwords in your browsers, and understand that and start committing like 10 minutes a week to gradually cleaning that up. It's a pain, but it's necessary. And then as citizens and consumers, we should also be looking for, and where we can, demanding devices that are secure by design. Choose trusted brands, right? The risk is not worth saving $20 on a Lithuanian knockoff. It's not, right? If you're looking at the political landscape at all, understand what's happening in this country. Mandatory breach notifications and the changing nature of our public-private partnerships are going to save us all in the long run. I deeply, deeply believe that. And the Canadian Digital Charter is going to get us a big step of the way there in this country.
Absolutely. You're right. But if for some reason we get hacked because we bought one of those devices, the cost of retrieving our information or making sure that we're not being, hacked in our bank accounts or all over the place, it's much more expensive than saving $20.
Absolutely, it is.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Vivian. That was a very interesting input from a security expert into our consumer habits. Thank you again for joining me today. Folks, thank you for having joined us today on this 40th edition of our IT Break. Please remember that this IT Break is recorded as a podcast and will be available on our hub of content at hub.navipro.com, along with the previous 39s, documents of interest, and other webinars. So thank you again for joining us today. And hopefully you'll be in our attendance on number 41 to come soon. Thank you again, Vivian, and have a great day.
Thank you, Pierre. Bye.
Bye-bye. You want access to a range of cutting-edge information? Go to our online content area at hub.navipro.com.